This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, January 21st, 2022. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, how corporations are taking over multilateral bodies such as the UN and other organizations. A campaign to provide a living wage to Bangladeshi garment workers. The Labour Start report of union events and singing.
For every stitch of clothing, someone sweats away unseen. While the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh. 100 years of struggle.
This is Radio Labour. The international labour movement is warning that corporations are increasing their influence over multilateral organizations in order to stop people from democratically controlling their future. These multilateral organizations include bodies such as the United Nations. To raise awareness of what's happening, labor organizations participated in a recent webinar entitled Our Future at Stake, the Corporate Capture of Multilateralism. The webinar was organized by the People's Working Group on Multi-Stakeholderism in Global Governance. The group consists of civil society organizations and labor organizations concerned about the growing power of multinational corporations. One of the labor leaders who participated in the webinar was Rosa Pavanelli. Ms. Pavanelli is the General Secretary of Public Services International. The PSI is the body which represents public service unions at the world level. Here's Ms. Pavanelli.
What we are looking at and discussing today is the end of a process that started some decades ago. Corporates and business and the financial system have been building the architecture of this model of governance that is actually capturing the public power in global governance and at the national level. We saw that in the negotiation within the WTO on plurilateral trade agreements, on free trade agreements, in the constitution of the ISDS as the place where contentious issues between government or corporates have been fixed during years and years, always in favor of corporates. And we saw also in the overwhelming power that the corporates were taking over in the UN system in the past years.
Unions all around the world are campaigning to improve the wages and working conditions of garment workers in Bangladesh. One of those unions is the United Steelworkers in Canada. Just recently, the USW conducted a national campaign aimed at a major retailer in the country. Canadian Tire, which owns other retailers such as Mark's, has about 1,800 stores in Canada. To find out about the campaign, I talked to Guillaume Charbonneau. Mr. Charbonneau is a projects officer with the Steelworkers Humanity Fund. I asked him to describe the purpose of the campaign.
This campaign is part of our Justice for Global Garment Workers campaign, which has been going on for many months now. So basically, the Steelworkers Humanity Fund is calling on, as you mentioned, on Canadian Tire to make public commitments to living wages and better working conditions. But our campaign also targets other companies, other Canadian companies as a whole. It should be said that for years, trade union leaders and workers' rights advocates in Bangladesh, they've been denouncing, you know, the appalling working conditions of the millions of Bangladeshi garment workers who make our clothes. This is nothing new also for the Canadian public. And they, you know, folks over there have been fighting hard to improve health and safety standards and increase wages mostly. I should also say that a key concept in this campaign is the one of a living wage. So for folks who might not be familiar with it, this is basically the amount that is needed for a worker and their family to have access to basics such as, you know, food, utilities, healthcare, housing, education, transportation, clothing, and some minimal savings earned in no more than 48 hours a week. So really, I mean, you know, the bare minimum so that one doesn't go, you know, into poverty and isn't trapped into a cycle of poverty, right? And although the situation is obviously very different in Bangladesh, we do think that some parallels can be drawn between the struggles of garment workers in Bangladesh and the one that workers face here in Canada. Just within our own steelworkers membership, many of them work in industries that face the same power dynamics, you know, with multinational corporations pushing down rights and wages, and as well as the struggle for gender equity and safer workplaces. So fundamentally, we do believe that workers' rights around the world are interconnected, and this is why we have acted and we will continue to act in solidarity with our sisters and brothers in Bangladesh.
There is an international accord for health and safety in the textile and garment industry, which covers garment workers in Bangladesh. Has Canadian Tire signed it? Should it?
It has not signed the accord. And yes, it should, definitely. So just to provide a bit of background, 9 years ago, there's been a huge fire in a garment factory in Bangladesh that killed at least 113 workers. And this was followed by the Rana Plaza collapse. So this is also, you know, a big industrial disaster that people in Canada might know about, which killed over 1,100 garment workers who were trapped inside the building. So both of those tragedies, they provided the final push for a group of garment brands and retailers to agree to sign the binding agreement with unions that established the accord that you're mentioning here. And it is actually being recognized, including by the Steelworkers Humanity Fund partners on the ground, as a transparent and credible initiative, and that has since made factories safer for over 2 million workers in the last 8 years. But some other international brands, including Canadian Tire, have decided to actually refuse to engage with this accord and created their own parallel accord back then called the Alliance for Bangladesh Worker Safety. This initiative actually ended 5 years later, and the shell of it stayed. It's called Nirupan. But what we consider Nirupan being nothing more than a facade that its member brands can point at if anyone questions them about the safety of their factories in Bangladesh and why they have not joined the accord. And an interesting fact is that the current secretary of Nirupan, her name is Kimmy Walker, she also is the associate vice president for product stewardship for Canadian Tire. So basically, we do believe that this alternative to the accord is, you know, valid, doesn't really address any of those issues. Instead of putting the obligation on member brands to ensure that their supplier factories have the financial means to carry out the prescribed safety renovations and repairs, it puts the onus on the factories themselves, which basically doesn't do anything in the end for workers, right?
Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the National Social Workers Walkout in Georgia, the growing number of attacks on Cambodian unions, and the increasingly repressive Tunisian government's policy towards trade unions and worker activism of any kind. But my favorite top story of the week was the announcement by the Australian Council of Trade Unions that it is prepared to organize strike action in response to the lunatic incompetence of their national government and its public and workplace health policies. We also carried news from Afghanistan, where jobs continue to be lost as the Taliban establishes itself, from Sudan, where the labor movement continues to grow against all odds, and we covered the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions response to xenophobic attacks on workers who have been forced to migrate to South Africa. One story that has had a long, perhaps too long, life on our news pages is the violent repression of independent trade unions in Belarus. Activists and union leaders continue to be harassed and tortured by the security services, while international attention has turned towards Ukraine and Kazakhstan. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found a survey detailing how and why the number of women professionals in India who suffer from imposter syndrome has skyrocketed during the pandemic. From Russia, we brought our readers a worker's dream of workplace gender equality, and we had a story detailing how Danish trade unions are helping build women's organizations in Palestine. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page and newswire this week includes statements from UK unions expressing their concern over the pace at which the UK government is rolling back COVID-related public health orders. And of course, we covered the growing push by the Global Union Federation Industrial to establish global safety standards for the mining industry. Our photo of the week is of a picket line at a McDonald's in England, where the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain restarted the longest platform workers' strike in UK history earlier this month. Labour Start hosts online solidarity actions at the request of unions around the world. This week, we'd like to highlight an urgent appeal for solidarity with 8 Cambodian union leaders imprisoned for organizing a casino strike. When police appeared on the picket line to arrest the 8 women, over 1,000 of their co-workers formed a circle around them to protect them from the police. Almost 900 of those workers were detained briefly and then sacked by their employer. Their protests continue. In just a few seconds, you can do your part in this struggle by sending a solidarity message. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
Now here are the Low Tide Drifters with Every Stitch.
In New York's garment district, a century ago, flames swept through a sweatshop where young women came to sew. Tried to flee to safety, but they found the stairwells locked. Some perished from the smoke and fire, some fell on the hard sidewalk. Present day in Bangladesh, 11 stories high, workers stand before the glass, how they wish that they could fly. Exit doors are locked up tight, of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
In the ashes of disaster, they won safety on the cutting floor and basic workers' rights. Now the union labels faded and the war is waged anew. Along a global chain of greed and pain hidden from the public view.
For every stitch of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
All across America, in every crowded mall, shoppers shop beneath the smiles of models on the wall. Of a logo is nothing more than sleight of hand, a corporate mask to hide the lives that lie behind the brand. And there are tears tonight in Dhaka, see the workers in the streets with banners flying high above their weary marching feet. And we who sport the fashions can be a voice that calls for change. In blood and fear and poverty, union rises from the flames.
From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
And that's it. labor news you can use. You can listen to our daily newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Marc Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.